And that was an interview with Rafe Larson, author of The Selected Works of T.S. Spivet, here on Books for Breakfast on ZFRU.
That was a lot of fun.
A little crush, I think.
Yeah, a little crush. It grew, magnified.
A little bit.
Yeah, Rafe is amazing. And that's a wonderful book. So if you've been intrigued at all by what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, please do get all by what we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Please do go and pick up a copy of The Selected Works of T.S. Spivet, Rafe Larson's new novel. Well, first novel. I guess he's working on something new.
Yeah.
And thanks for tuning in today.
We'll be back with more next week.
Yeah.
CFRUbooks.wordpress.com to hear more.
Sound Magic, here every Saturday afternoon on CFRU. Seriously, music.
I love the tricycles, I love the synagogues, I love the Lego, and I love the Lincoln Logs. I love the fishing lures, I love the plumber's snakes. I love the things that people make.
This is a pre-recorded episode of These Things That People Make from the CFRU Archives. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the live broadcast of These Things That People Make. CFRU 93.3 FM.
CFRU
Archives. Good morning. You are listening to These Things That People Make. You just heard my theme song, The Burning Hell, the lovely Burning Hell out of Peterborough, singing I Love the Things That People Make. And today I have a very exciting interview with Aaron of the Arrow Archive. Once had a home in Hamilton at the Sky Dragon Center, and now lives in the University Center, the same place where CFRU lives. So maybe we'll just start by letting her tell the story. So this is Aaron talking about the Arrow Archive. Thanks so much for hanging out with me and talking about the Arrow Archive. Tell me the story of it.
It started as the Hamilton Zine Library in Hamilton at the Sky Dragon Center. And back then, I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, it was just like open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then they gave me bigger space, and then it was open all the time. And then they moved me to the basement, and then I decided it wasn't a very good place for the zine library to be. So when I moved to Guelph, I found a home at the Girked, and now we're here.
So did you start the Arrow Archive?
Yes, I started with a personal collection. I had like 75 zines sitting around my house, and no one was reading them except for me, so I decided to start a library.
It's an interesting thing, like the Robert Street Social Center, the Anchor Archive. That's also how they started their zine collection, Sarah Evans and Sonia Edworthy. They were like, we have all these zines. And it's just interesting going from like a very private collection to sharing zines with everyone. Yep. And why the name Arrow?
Well, I think I was mirroring a lot of what the Anchor Archive was doing, because when I went to go visit the Anchor Archive, I was blown away. Like, they even got, like, a little house. I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I kind of mirrored them in a lot of ways, and I think they used alliteration in their name, and I thought it was cute, so I used the same kind of alliteration.
Cool. And why did they move you to the basement of the Sky Dragon Center?
There was a lot of miscommunications at the that center, so I think they wanted to make more room for like something else, and they just decided that the zine library wasn't a priority for them. But the rest of the community was like, Aaron, it sucks that you're down there. And I'm like, yeah, I know. What are you going to do? It's free space, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why. That's why I moved out.
So the zine library is now like 4 years old.
About four, I think.
And it's now moved from Hamilton to the Guelph Resource Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity on campus.
Yeah.
And can you describe what it looks like now?
Well, Lori, down there, let me clear off a few shelves. So it's like four shelves high. It's in the, like, as soon as you walk in the doors, it's on your right. It's got, I take up about two shelves, and everything's organized into magazine racks. Magazine holders. And, yeah, that's about it right now. Haven't started cataloging yet, so it's mostly just a read in the library thing.
So people can go and hang out and read and
definitely. Well, it's a cool space for that, too. They have comfortable chairs.
Yeah, it's totally lovely.
Yep.
I know how you are. That's why I've been staying away from you. That's why I haven't called you. Cause I know you could possess my body. I know you could make me scrawl. I know you could have me shaking. I know you could have me climbing walls. That's why I don't want to love you. Cause I know how you are. Sure, you say you're right on and you're righteous. But with me, I know you'd be right off. Cause you know I could possess your body too, don't you? You know I could make you crawl. And just as hard as I'd fall for you, boy, well, you know you'd fall for me harder. That's why I don't wanna love you.
Welcome back to These Things That Make People Make. You are listening to an interview with Aaron about the Arrow Archive, and I'm your host, Sarah Mangle. And we just heard Betty Davis with her track, Anti-Love Song, one of my favorite songs of this week. Wanted to let you know, just give you a little bit of background information. The Sky Dragon Center that Aaron talked about, where the Zine Library originally was, is located at 27 King William Street in Hamilton, Ontario. So the Zine Library used to be housed in this kind of multi-purpose community center, and is now located at the Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity on the first floor of the University Center. And we're going to go back to the interview with Aaron now.
I asked you to grab your 10 most favorite or memorable zines, and you did quite enthusiastically, which is so awesome. And in fact, you brought 11, which is so cool. And so I'm just wondering if you can... well, before you do that, I have one other question. How do you... what are the different categories that the zines are in right now?
Right now, there's per zines, which are personal zines, so zines that people have written about their lives, like diary zines, or zines about things that have happened to them. And there's fanzines, which is that are zines that are made about things that people are really into, like music, mostly music zines, but there's also like there's horror movie zines, and there's a candy zine down there.
Cool.
So and then there's a bunch of political ones. I think about four of them that are all just like anarchist-based theory and stuff. There's two lit zine containers that are just full of zines that are poetry and literature. There is a health zine box, which is full of just zines related to health, mental health, and physical health. There's queer and sexuality, which is all about queer and sexuality zines. There is a box for prison zines. I have a large collection of zines about prison and people, and zines made by prisoners, so I made them their own little box. And I don't think I can really remember how many other ones.
This is a pre-recorded episode of These Things That People Make from the CFRU Archives. Tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for the live broadcast of These Things That People Make. CFRU 93.3 FM.
CFRU Archives.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's exciting. All right. So what are your, what is Aaron, of the founder of the Arrow Archives, top 11 zines on February 8th?
We have Cooking with Surplus in Excess. So it's a dumpster diver zine. So when you go dumpster diving, you get a lot of something.
How would you define a dumps? How would you define dumpster diving?
Going in the dumpster and getting food to eat.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's not actually going in the dumpster. This is thing that when I started, like, you know, being vegan and living in Montreal, I thought it was always actually getting into the dumpster.
Oh, no, no, I never really get in because I can't get out.
So for folks who've never dumpstered up before, it's very rarely that you go into the dumpster.
Yeah. Anyway, this one's by Cy Lodi, who's from San Francisco.
Cool.
And they've done an alphabetical order of all these things that you could find in the dumpster, mostly just fruits and vegetables, given your recipes and like what to do with them. Very cute, nicely illustrated. Cy Lodi is an amazing person.
Cooking with Surplus. Now, is Cooking with Surplus a series or it's just
no,
one that
No, it's a one-off. That's what you call that.
A one-off.
When somebody makes just one?
A one-off.
Cy Lodi's also made another one, Coloring for the Brokenhearted.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a silkscreen cover, beautiful. And then on the inside, they've done all these just drawings of things that you would say to someone that has broken up with you. Or you've broken up with them.
Beautiful drawings, mostly of horses.
Oh, yes, yeah. Cy Lodi loves to draw animals.
Can you read some of the things?
Which one's my favorite one? You Can Never Be Sorry Enough. A picture of a dog in front of a rainbow.
Serious dog.
Yes, angry dog. It's not worth mentioning. It's nothing, really. I'll just put it here for now, and there's a picture of a kangaroo with two hearts and a locked box. Oh. Yeah, so that's, yeah. If you want to color the pages at the Zine Library, please go photocopy them. Don't color them in the book. and then I have If Death Comes, issue 2. This is a series.
Okay.
It's by a guy named Toady, and he writes about his experiences traveling. I think he likes to hitchhike a lot, so it's kind of neat, just like journal entries while he travels.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting. And there's Infiltration, a zine about going places you're not supposed to go. This is a series. This was done maybe like late 90s, early 2000s. I don't think it's done anymore. But it's stories about exploring Toronto and other places, like the underground Toronto, like buildings, the old hospital. They go into the York Hotel. Pretty interesting. I have all of them at the zine library.
And if I'm correct, I used to know that zine. Yeah. They're also giving people tips for how to get in.
Yeah, how to get
places.
In and what to do, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And then there's Invisible Invaders number 4. This is a series. This is done by some of the people who used to do the zombie walk in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
There's now been a split.
Oh,
it's
cool.
Very interesting. There's now been a split. There's groups that do it in Hamilton. There's groups that do it in Toronto. But now these are the kids that go to Toronto and Hamilton, and they do. This is like just a horror fanzine about horror movies, horror books. It's pretty good. Silkscreen cover.
It's really elaborate.
It's very
nice.
Xerography Debit, which is a zine review zine. Done by a person named Gypsy Davida Gypsy Rose. Definitely a good review zine. Check
and
out.
Is that a reg? It's a series. It comes.
This is a series. I'm not sure how often it comes out. It's available through Microcosm, and I think it's probably. This is from 2009. I'm really not sure like when it. How often it comes out. I've tried to get a subscription before, but it's just hard. It's one of the things about zines when people make them. Like, people who make them are usually transient. They don't keep it up.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so. This little one's called One A Day, January 2010. I got this in a zine review pack from Zine World. Zine World's a zine review zine that I write for.
Oh, cool.
And they send out packs full of zines that you review. I mean, not necessarily I like them all.
Yeah.
Of course, but this is one of the ones I got. It's a half-size little guy, and it's about this girl who decided to draw a picture every day for a month and then sell it for a penny on Etsy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that little site. And she's chronicled all her little drawings in the scene. I thought it was really cute. The drawings were just amazing. The two-headed calf.
And was she? Is there? Are there journal entries that accompany it? What is she writing?
Yeah,
about
yeah.
It?
So yeah, what? Yeah, and there's a, like a little like what the picture means to her. Like it's a little thing here, but on the site, I guess it was a big thing. Really cute. This one came with a sticker actually, which I've stuck on my things already.
Nice.
The fence, a new place for. A new place of power for bisexual women.
And that zine, The Fence, has been around for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't even think it's printed anymore. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a zine that was based in Toronto. Really, really good. Lots of different contributors. Really, really good. I don't know what else to say about it.
What makes it really, really good?
I think just the diversity of contributors. So it's not always just going to be one person writing about their experience being a bisexual woman. It's lots of different people's experiences, and that's what makes it good.
That makes sense. That makes
sense. I got three more left. This is The Ring of Fire, a zine for limbless creatures, radical crips, and perverts of all kinds. This is about a girl, her first time train hopping. It actually says it in the beginning here. If you're wondering who I am, my name is Hillary Homosex, and I'm a double leg amputee. I lost both my legs when train hopping in 1996 when I was 18. Now I'm 21, and I just got new legs, and I'm walking just fine, but it's been a challenging adjustment. So, She's done a lot of writing about what it's like to like get used to her new legs, what it's like, and like being sexual with the new leg, like being an amputee. And also, she's contacted other amputees and people that have been born limbless, and to know their kind of experience. So I really enjoyed it because it's like something that I don't know anything about, and she writes about really openly and honestly, and that makes it really interesting.
And where is that? Where could people find Ring of Fire?
You can probably get this online. I'm not really sure where. You could try zinelibrary.net. So I don't know, zinelibrary.info.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah. He's got Labe, which is a zine about sexuality and transgenderedness, or gender, really. Also, kind of like The Fence, where it's got a lot of different contributors, a lot of different angles. That's what I really liked about it. Also based in Toronto. I don't think that this one's printed anymore. It's a series. And then The Worst, which is a compilation zine on grief and loss, which, again, makes it really awesome is that there are lots of different contributors who write about everything from losing their pet cat to losing their limbs to losing their mother.
Wow.
So it's like a radical take on grief.
Yeah.
So I really like that one.
And when did that come out? Did that come out recently, The Worst?
I don't think so. The Worst has put out another one recently.
Okay.
This was a while ago. Issue 2, I think, has recently come out. You can probably find that on the same zinelibrary.info.net. That's top 11.
Thank you, Aaron.
No problem.
We'll have to write all those down so that I can put those on the blog so that people can find them. What do you think, like, obviously different things contribute to making a zine good? And one of the things that I heard you say a couple times is just when there's a lot of contributors or there's a lot of, especially when there's people speaking to a particular issue or identity. What are some other like tips you would give to people about how to make their zine really good?
I'm really into like they say never judge a book by a cover, but I always judge books by the cover.
Yeah.
And to me, the way it looks. So I think when you're going to make your zine, you think about the layout. Think about how it's going to look. Like, not only, like, concentrate on your content, like, your writing or whatever you're putting in, but make sure it's going to look good, and think about, like, different types of paper you could print, photocopy on. Think about different kind of bindings. Think about, like, the contrast between black and white, or if you're going to print in color, I guess. And also, like, your content's really important, too. Like, yeah, make sure it's really well edited, which I'm guilty of that.
Yeah. It may be good to have other people look it over.
Yep, or take your time. Your time. I think that's a good tip. Take your time.
Do you write zines?
Oh, yes, of course I do.
Tell me about the zines that you make.
So the new one I've done is My Life is Clip Art, which is all just drawings of things around my house when I just recently moved into the house in Guelph.
Yeah.
I really don't know what I'm doing with it yet. I just finished making it maybe a couple weeks ago.
So awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to probably be tabling at the Montreal Book Fair.
Cool.
So that's probably where... this is an older one, Evidence, mixtape of paper. I collect paper, like little bits of stuff that doesn't make any sense, and I decided to not keep it anymore.
Oh.
And make just copy, like make a zine out of all these things that are in
it's my really
life.
There's a lot of interesting design things.
Yeah, that's
like a lot of interesting.
There's not much. There's not much of writing in here. It's mostly just images and pictures of things. I think it's mostly I made this zine for myself so I could look back through it and be like, oh yeah, look, there's that.
It's a catalog. You made yourself a catalog.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully other people find it interesting.
Awesome.
And then this is the famous one, Fag Punk. It's in its 10th issue now. It's all just queer erotica, mostly about skinheads, radicals, and punks. So I write about queer erotica.
Do you write about queer erotica?
No, I write queer erotica.
I didn't realize. It's interesting. I was like, I didn't know you were the person who made Fag Punk. It is totally famous.
Yeah, it's the same. There's another zine maker. I won't say his name, but there's another zine maker in Guelph. He writes One Way Ticket, mm-hmm. which is exciting. I didn't know that he did One Way Ticket until one day here. I find him stapling all these One Way Tickets. I was like, it's you.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of like about zines is that it's kind of anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Because you don't put your name on.
No, it's mostly just Fag Punk. Some people know me as Fag
yeah.
Punk. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool because I have had that experience too before where, like, because zines, for me, my experience of zines happened before the internet was really as popular as it is now. And so, really... People would find zines that I made in their bathrooms mostly because there's a lot of bathroom zine reading that happens. And then people would come to a zine fair and they'd be like, oh, you make this zine? Like, I have this very significant relationship with the zine that you made, you know? And it's just really like, I feel like it's more fun than putting your name all over it because just this like really interesting interaction. And really, people just hand things to each other. Like, it's a really neat.
Check this out. Yeah. My friend in Hamilton, she has a specific zine library in her bathroom.
Mm.
And it's perfect. She, you know, rearranges it a few times, but like there's always something right there that, you know.
Yeah.
It's an important place to be reading.
Awesome. And do you have tips for people then, since you're doing this series, like to keep it interesting, to keep it going? Like,
well, I've been doing Fag Punks since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a deadline for myself. It's just basically when I collect enough content or I get inspired enough and have enough content, that's when I'll publish.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen that often. To keep it interesting, I don't know. I've been kind of thinking that myself. Like with Fag Punk 10, it's just getting to be the same thing.
Mm.
Kind of feels like formula writing, so I don't really like that. I don't know where I'm going to go now. But I mean, it's sex, so people are going to just eat it up every time.
And what for you, like, what for you, why do you like writing about sex, and what do you think makes a good sexual story?
What do I write about it? I don't know. What excites me mm-hmm. to do it. It like, kind of gets the same gratification I get out of, like, if I was to do the X, I guess. Mm-hmm. Early on, it was like a lot of fantasy that I would have,
mm-hmm.
and then somewhere in the middle, it was I would just use experiences that actually happened to me, mm-hmm. which is pretty exciting because I'd be writing out these things that, you know, no one knows about. That's pretty true. And then now coming closer to where I am now, it's more come back to fantasy again, which is, I think it's. Then I can really do anything I want.
Yeah.
You know, add a little, like, reality to it and then just take off from there. What was your other question?
I don't remember.
Something to do with sex. That's all I heard.
Sex.
Yeah, sex. Some more sex.
Cool. I had another question that I thought of while we were talking about sort of the move from Hamilton to Guelph. I was just wondering, like, if you could sort of give me your take on, like, the Hamilton zine scene versus the Guelph zine scene.
Okay, well, I don't want to take credit for being an influence at all.
Yeah.
But I think I can't, maybe the zine library can take credit, because people come down and they've seen the zine library and be like, oh, I can make one of these too. Mm-hmm. There's been a few zines that came out of Hamilton. I can't really name them, but that were specifically made to be put at the zine library, and then they realized, well, all my friends want copies too, and so... So I think it kind of, like, made it a little bigger. People always wanted me to do zine workshops, but it's still hard for me to give a zine workshop, because it's just something very personal. It's just hard to, like, teach that, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Guelph, I don't really know what the Guelph zine scene's like here. I know that there's a lot of political things that happen, but that's quite different than, like, the art things that can happen. There's a fine arts... fine arts
department.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fine arts department in MAC. That there was a few people doing zine-y things there, which was kind of exciting. And I feel like that has happened here in Guelph.
Mm-hmm.
I think it also happened in the Sheridan. You know which school that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sheridan. There was a zine library there. I can't remember the name of the woman who was running it.
Yeah.
But
OCAD has a zine library too.
Yeah.
And then there's the Toronto Zine.
Toronto Zine Library, which I've never visited.
Yeah, it there's a lot of discussion about it right now, not getting as much traffic as it potentially could.
Well, it's hard because it's money. Like,
yeah.
You need to pay someone to be there.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, submit to getting a government grant for that.
Yeah.
It's like, zines are, like, really independent, and, like, that's their flavor, and, like, and then to get a government grant to, like, be there, which is the only way you're going to get a good chunk of change to be able to be open for a year. So it's just, that's why I go back to, like, the Robert Street Social Center.
Hello, you are listening to These Things That People Make, and we've just wrapped up an interview with Aaron of the Arrow Archive, and I do want to... give you a few websites to check out and a few things to check out that Aaron and I were talking about. So, let's see, where do I want to start? You can check out zinelibrary.info. That website is going to have a lot of information for you about a lot of different zines and sort of tracking zines. You can go to... the zine distro part of the Robert Street Social Center. We were talking about the Anchor Archive. And that website is www.robertstreet.org. And that's a zine library in Halifax. And the other website I wanted to tell you about is the website for the Guelph Resource Center for Gender Empowerment and Diversity. That is located in room 107 of the University Center. And that is where the Arrow Archive is. So, check that out, and I'm going to post the list of Aaron's top 11 zines on my blog within the next 2 hours, and information on the Arrow Archive blog, and Aaron and I are talking about hosting some events together, some zine-related events, so I'll keep you posted on that stuff. So I hope everybody has a fantastic week, and next week I'm playing the long-awaited interview with Allison Mitchell. So please be sure to tune into that. If you want to get in contact with me, you can send me an email, Sarah, sarah.mangle@gmail.com. Or you can check out my blog at thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. And as of last week, something very excited happened where now my audio is being hosted on Radio for All. So when you go to the blog, you can be sent to find the archives easier by clicking on a link right in the blog. So I'm really excited that finally happened. And Locavore is up next. Stay tuned to CFRU.
Listening to CFRU. Action Read Community Literacy Center offers one-on-one tutoring and small group learning in reading, writing, math, and computers for adults aged 18 and over in Guelph. At Action Read, we help you identify what you're good at so you can work towards your goals.